We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Redemption Church, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Messiah season. It is great to see y'all in the house of God today. Kmart saves Christmas. Boy, it's been a while since Kmart saved Christmas. But anyway, it is so good to see you here at Redemption Church this evening. Throughout this sermon series, we've been starting off the message each week by singing a Christmas carol. We've been singing We Three Kings. There's one more verse left to sing, so if you don't mind, please sing along with me one more time. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, earth to heaven replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us with thy perfect light. Amen. Praise God. Thank you all for singing along with me. I can't sing as well as Shelton and the worship team, but we make a joyful noise. That's what it says, right? Amen. Praise God. Well, welcome back. This really is the final week of our Messiah season sermon series. We've been talking about the Messiah. In this series, we've been seeking to do more than just keep Christ in Christmas. That's a good thing to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're seeking to do more, to really get to know the Messiah, God's anointed one. Messiah is a Hebrew word that means anointed one. In Greek, the word is Christ, the anointed one. We want to know this Messiah more. And so we've been looking at the prophecies from the Old Testament about this Messiah. And then we're seeing how they are all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So, Jesus is the Messiah. That's crucial. That is what makes Christmas meaningful. If Jesus was not the Christ, if he was not the anointed one, the Messiah, then celebrating his birthday would just be celebrating the birthday of a cool guy. It'd be a time to celebrate being nice to each other, which is, it's good to be nice to each other, but the Messiah, the Savior, he is worth celebrating. Amen? Amen. He absolutely is. And we know that Jesus is worth celebrating because he fulfilled all of these prophecies about the Messiah. He was the one and only Messiah, the anointed one of God. We've been taking a look at these prophecies, and they can be grouped into three categories. And those can be represented by the three gifts that the wise men brought to baby Jesus. So let's review. The wise men brought him gold, and gold represents that he is king. He is a conquering king. He is the king of kings. Amen? Yes, he is the king, and his reign shall have no end. Jesus is a king. But they also brought him some myrrh. And the myrrh represents that he is a suffering servant. Yes. So even though he is the king, he also came not to be served, but to serve others. He suffered and died in our place. He took on the punishment that we deserve and died on the cross. And then third, they brought him frankincense. And what does that represent? That he is God. He is absolutely the Lord God Almighty, the one and only God with us. He is Emmanuel. That means God with us. So he is King and God and sacrifice, just like we just sang. So we have been focusing a lot on the Messiah part of Messiah season. And that's good. He is worth focusing on. He is very important. But if you don't mind, I'd like to take a little time today, and I'd like to spend some time talking about the second part of Messiah season. I'd like to spend some time talking about the season. All right? What is a season? A period of time. Yes. How long is a season? It varies, right? Yeah. What's your favorite season? When people ask me that question, I think of the four seasons of the year: winter, spring, summer, fall. I like fall. What's your favorite season? But the Bible tells us that there are all kinds of seasons. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, it tells us there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There are lots of different kinds of seasons, right? Right now, we're in the holiday season, but it's also flu season. So be sure to keep some Purell on hand. Use good hygiene. We want everybody to stay healthy. There are also sports seasons, right? There's football season, and then there's basketball season, and baseball season, and hockey season, and archery season, golf. I'm not big on sports. I don't know that well, unless it's Lithuanian basketball season. I'm always down for that one. So there's sports seasons. There's political seasons. We're entering into what's bound to be an interesting political season. There's, when you go to the grocery store, the fruits and the vegetables, they all have a season. What's in season right now? What can we get? You can get lots of citrus fruit, but strawberries, not so much. They're not in season. There's seasons in fashion. What's the hot look this season? What's the hot trends? Yeah, bolo ties. 2020, that's the look of 2020. Fashion has seasons. There's the season of the witch, which is the alternate title to Halloween Part 3, and it's a Nick Cage movie. That's a late birthday present for Pastor Chris. All right. Our TV shows and the shows we watch are grouped into seasons. I'm watching season 3 of Stranger Things, and the Mandalorian season just ended. What season of The Office are you watching right now? All of them, all the time. So we go through a lot of seasons. We're constantly in one season or another. So what really is Messiah season? When does it start? And when does it end? Is it the same as the Christmas season? I hope not. No. I really hope it's not, because we do Christmas wrong. Turn to somebody and tell them, we do Christmas wrong. Now, I don't mean to step on any toes. Every family has their own Christmas tradition, and those are great. Christmas is a great time to spend with the people you love, and it's good to do things together and have our family traditions and stuff, but I hope we can agree that generally, as a culture, we kind of do Christmas the wrong way. How long do you leave your Christmas decorations up? And I'm not counting the Christmas lights on the outside of your house. Those can stay up all year. That's great. But like your Christmas tree, how long do you leave that up? How long does the feeling that you should be a little nicer because it's Christmas time, how long does that last? On the 26th, if somebody cuts me off in traffic, man, no. How long does that last? And maybe we do a great job of preserving that Christmas spirit, but have you been in the stores? I was in a grocery store just earlier today, and most of that Christmas stuff is gone, and what's left is 90% off, because they got to make room for the New Year's stuff and the Valentine's Day stuff and all the other stuff that they want to sell to us next. We tend to celebrate Christmas backwards. We have all of our celebrations beforehand, and then it happens, and then we're on to the next thing. It's time to start getting ready for whatever the next holiday is. It's New Year's. Let's get our New Year's parties organized and get ready for, get our resolutions in order and all that stuff. And then when that happens, we're on to the next thing. That's kind of backwards. Mary and Joseph weren't having parties up until Christmas Eve. And then the next day, the shepherds and the wise men all showed up and they had a big meal and had a photo op and then all went about their business and got on with their lives. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it happened. Beforehand, before Christmas, before the arrival of Jesus, it was a time of maybe worry. Where are we going to stay? We got to travel? My wife's really pregnant. How are we going to travel all this way? What are we going to do when we get there? It was a time of preparation. We got to get ready because this baby is going to arrive. We need to be ready for it. And it was a time of anticipation because we know who this baby is supposed to be. What is this going to be like? What's going to happen? And then the Messiah arrived. Then it was time for celebration. And as people encountered the Messiah, their lives were changed. They didn't just go back to everyday life the day after. Things were changed forever when the Messiah arrived, when they encountered him. The wise men, we've been talking about the Magi bringing their gifts. They didn't start on their journey the day after Thanksgiving. It took them a long time. They had to travel. Yeah, weeks, if not months, they were traveling. And all they knew was they saw this sign that told them that the Messiah was to be born somewhere in the east. And so they were traveling. And they were traveling and they were traveling. It took time. And then they didn't arrive when he was born. They didn't arrive on Christmas Day and say, here's your presents. See you later. No, they had to find him. They had to track down that he was to be born in Bethlehem. And then they had to find that he was born in this stable and present him with their gifts. It took time after he was born to find him and present these gifts, but he was worth it because they were looking for the Messiah, the King, for God. He's worth working for, searching for, celebrating. So that season didn't just, it wasn't just a neat little package that started at one point, went on, and then ended. No, it was an ongoing process because even after they encountered the Messiah and saw him and found, this is it, this is real. We've honored him, we've worshiped him, we've given him our gifts. They had to travel back home. That same long journey they made before, they had to travel back home. But the whole time, you know, they were probably talking about, that's incredible. Do you believe who we just met? That we met the Messiah. We got to give him these gifts. Man, and what do you think they did when they got back there? Do you think they, well, that was nice. Let's not ever talk about that again. No, they told everybody, man, where have you been? I just met the Messiah. The Savior, the King was born and I got to meet him and see him. You wouldn't believe it. So the Messiah season isn't meant to be a neat little encapsulated thing. As people encountered the Messiah, their lives were changed forever. Now, hopefully, throughout this series, you have come to realize that Jesus is the only one who could be this Messiah. He met all the qualifications. He fulfilled all of the prophecies. If you missed any of the messages in this series, go back and check them out. They're all posted online. They go through just a fraction of the prophecies that the Messiah would have to fulfill. And Jesus fulfilled every single one. Amen. He is the only one who is King and servant and God all at the same time. So, If we have encountered this Messiah, if we have entered into a season of recognizing and celebrating this Messiah, our lives shouldn't go back to normal afterwards. We shouldn't move on when something else comes along. It shouldn't be time to move to the next season, the next big thing. What do we need to be getting ready for next? No, let's dwell in this Messiah season for a while. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But we can easily lose our place in this season. Where are we in this season? Well, so Jesus came and lived and died on the cross. He was the suffering servant. Okay, so that happened. And I know that he's coming back as the King of Kings. He's coming to reign. So he is coming back as the conquering king. So that means that right now, it must be when he's God. And so I'll just pray and go to church. And that's how it works, right? Is that? No, no, no. He is all three, always. He is always all three at the same time. He is God with us. Amen. Absolutely. He hears you when you reach out to him in prayer. He is with you no matter what you go through. Whenever you need him, he is a God that is bigger than anything you will face, and he is with you. He loves you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But he is also a conquering king. He is the King of Kings. He wants to conquer hearts. He wants to conquer the hearts of everyone you meet. He wants to build his kingdom.
Yes.
If he is our Messiah, then we should live like he is our king. Amen? Amen. We should be seeking to build his kingdom in this world. Do you do that? Do you live like you are a member of his kingdom? Or do you live like you are part of the kingdom of this world? Whose kingdom are you a part of? He is a king, and man, I want to be in his kingdom.
Yes.
But he is also a suffering servant. On the cross, he bore the punishment of sins that we have committed in our lives and sins that we are still yet to commit. I'm not perfect. I love him, but I'm going to fall short again. But he's already paid the price for that on the cross. He is our suffering servant. Thank you, God. I'm sorry, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And he left us an example. He called us to be like him. In Hebrews 6 and 8, it talks about people that are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace through sins that we yet commit today. But just as he suffered and came to be a servant, he also left an example for us to follow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Do you live to serve others? Do you follow the King's command to love others as he loves you? When we think about how he loves us, all that he did for us, do we love others in that way?
Jesus.
He is God with us. He is the King of Kings. And he also is the suffering servant and an example to us for how we should serve the world around us. And this isn't how we should be at a certain time in the year. This is who we are called to be all the time.
Yes, sir,
yes. Yes, amen. Messiah season shouldn't just be wedged in between Thanksgiving and New Year's. No, we should be living in Messiah season as long as he is our Messiah. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, we are about to enter a new year. And what's more, we're about to enter a new decade. Can this year, can this decade be a Messiah season in our life? Do you want that? Yes, I do. Lord, let it be so. Let this whole decade, let the rest of our lives be a season celebrating and worshiping and recognizing this Messiah. It won't be easy. It's never easy. But in this coming year, it's going to be particularly difficult because this new year is an election year, in case you hadn't heard. Can we live in a way that shows that we believe in a Messiah who is more important and more powerful than anyone holding political office? Can we do that? Let's do that. Can we live in a way that shows that we know we are called to love others even if they have different opinions and beliefs than we do? Can we do that? Let's do that. Can we live in a way that shows we're called to love others even if they aren't particularly nice to us? Let's do that. That's who we're called to be. That's how we can celebrate this Messiah season. We can show the world His love, the love of this Messiah, regardless of what else is going on around us. Let's show His love. But here's a question. What if Messiah season isn't a when? What if Messiah season is a who? What if Messiah season is you? Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. These are the words of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the salt of the earth. You are the seasoning. I was going to include the verse about how our speech should be seasoned with salt. But again, considering we're going into an election year, I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with that one. But we are called to be the salt of the earth. We are called to be the Messiah season. You are the salt. You are Messiah's seasoning. You are called to season the world with the knowledge of the Messiah by living out and sharing your relationship with Him. Salt is used to prepare things and to preserve things. Through your relationship with Jesus and by following His example of being a servant, you help to preserve the hope and the love and the faith of others. You prepare a way for our King's return by building His kingdom in this world. That's how we're called to be the salt. We can prepare the way. We can preserve the hope and the faith of others. But if we lose that relationship, if we choose not to live like He is the Messiah, what then? What are we good for? But Jesus is God with us. He can put His Spirit within us to remind us and to encourage us to live out every season with Jesus as our Messiah. This is the season to recognize and worship the true Messiah, that is Jesus. Christmas is over, but the Messiah still lives and reigns today and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You are the Messiah season. You are the salt, and you are the light to go out into this world and share the love of this Messiah. The world needs you. And as we prepare to enter this new year, are you willing to live out who Jesus has called you to be? He is with us. He is here right now. Will you acknowledge him? Will you reach out to him? Will you spend a few moments talking to him? At the end of service every week, we open up the front here and we encourage everyone to come forward and spend some time talking to God. He is here for you. He loves you. So I encourage you, these altars are open. Come and talk to God. Ask him how you can better live out this season of following him as our Messiah. Ask him to prepare you and to prepare us as Redemption Church to seek him and to serve him all the more in this coming year and this coming decade. Ask him how we can be Messiah season in the world around us. Let's spend some time talking to him. And if you would like special prayer, just stand within a few feet of the platform and we would be glad to pray with you. The Messiah loves you. Don't leave this place without spending some time talking to him today.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.